What's up, everybody? It is your host, Tony Rambles, and welcome to the Outtakes of the Living Numbers podcast, where you get an in-depth look at the conversations before and after the interviews. Thank you all for subscribing. Now, here is your exclusive content.
So funny story. I get asked about these guitars all the time, so I feel like I'm always telling this story, which is totally fine. But I just grew up liking a lot of different kinds of music, mostly because of my dad. So he had a very eclectic taste. So my favorite kind of genre is like rock and roll, you know. So naturally, I go, well, let me try this guitar thing out because I'm a huge fan. I love music. And so I bought guitars for myself and my wife when we got, it was before we got married. Because, you know, you try to find something that you can do together, you know, how can we hang out, build this culture, right? Yep. And so, needless to say, my wife did not pick up her guitar very often, which is totally fine. You know, you win some, you lose some, swing and miss that time. But I did. And, you know, I started playing, I started getting into it. And then we moved to China. This was in, I think we moved in 16. So
what area? Not gonna,
Suzhou, about an hour west of Shanghai.
Where is that? I'm not, okay.
Yeah, so we stayed there for about a year. And of course, you're not taking guitars back and forth. I mean, unless you're that dedicated. I was not. And so when we got back, I got back on it. And, you know, so I was really like regimented. I was waking up at like, When we finally got our home, I was waking up at like 5:30 in the morning. I would practice for like 30 minutes, and then I would start getting ready for work. I'm a high school teacher. And so I made some headway. I had an app I was using. I figured once I start paying for something, then I'm locked in. I have to. So once our son was born, almost 2 years ago, he'd be two in June. The guitar had to go down. So it's on pause right now. It's not gone, but, you know, he's old enough now to where, you know, I can think I could fit it in the schedule a little bit better. So that's the guitar stories.
So what do you teach in high school?
I teach speech, or it's called professional communications. So I kind of I get as much in there as I can. So a lot of life stories, a lot of leadership, a lot of interpersonal, okay, how do you work with people who stink at their job, you know? Are you a team captain? Okay, if you are, how do you bring people along? Do you just do all the work for them? Like, so all these different dynamics, I try to teach it in class. A lot of stuff that you, I'm sure, run into quite often with your experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super valuable to learn speech, communication. And you're right. It does kind of fit in with everything else. It's not like, oh, I present myself one way and then I work a different way. It's kind of the whole package, and right, you have to deal with those situations as they come. Interesting.
Absolutely.
Where are you out, man, of?
Do you have it? I'm from Detroit, but I live in Houston. So
people have asked me. One of those transplants?
Oh, Detroit. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Some people, I think I was interviewing somebody, and they thought I was in Detroit because of all the stuff that I have back here. I'm like, actually, no, I'm just representing, but no, I'm actually in Houston. Do you have a show?
I don't have a show yet. I might. I've thought about it. I mean, I've just been trying to push the book and that type of stuff. I think I'm more of a tech guy, so I think I'm going to go more towards like building an app. You know, there's a show part. Mm-hmm. I love the show because it seems like you can get a lot of different people on. You can learn a lot of different things, and I kind of have a reason to learn and read. But for my goals, I'm looking at it like, how do I actually help families? And I like the podcasts are good, but it's more, can I build an app or something that would help people strategize, make better decisions, those type of things.
Put all your resources and stuff in there.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, I asked because you came out like firing. Like the questions were just coming off. I'm like, oh man, this dude is ready to roll. I'm like, wait a second. Have the tables been turned on me?
No, I just love.
Okay.
I mean, I lived in Russia for a couple of years I was on a religious mission. And so I just kind of learned interpersonal communication also in a different language. which was an interesting challenge. So it's like, how do I do those things? But I also just love people. I mean, it's, you got the Detroit Lions, man. Great team to vote, to root for, but man, they've had a rough road, man. It's like, what do we do on Thanksgiving? We watch the Lions lose. That's pretty much how it's been for as long as I can remember.
Yep. We make it interesting enough to lose close. That's typically what we do.
Well, no, what did you have? Like Matt, was it Matt Stafford was the QB there for so long. Then he went to the Rams. Then he was able to get a Super Bowl. I'm like, okay. So it's
Stafford was the man. He was good. We all loved him. And so it was kind of bittersweet where you go, well, this is what we were hoping that you could do with us, but there's very few quarterbacks that can really pull a franchise from nothing to, you know, to relevance. In just relevance is a baseline. We're not even talking about being a contender and then the Super Bowl favorite. But I think that when you have such chaos all around you, it's really hard to succeed. Like, we had Jim Caldwell. Right now we're getting off in the weeds. We had Jim Caldwell, and he is the only winning coach with a winning record in like 40 years or something, and they fire him. I'm like, you guys are idiots. Okay, this is one of the few people who was able to wrangle this poor organization, figure it out, get people moving along, win some games, and they got rid of him, I guess, because he wasn't, you know, because he hadn't had all the playoff success. I'm like, we've been awful for 25 years. What are you doing? Like, I was like, that was a terrible move. Terrible move. Then they didn't pay Sue. They let him walk to Miami. I mean, I'm just like, but those two things, I think, they tanked us. They tanked us. We haven't even been decent since until this year, which to me, one season, it doesn't mean anything. The Lions will surprise you with like a 500 season where they look really scrappy and you're like, okay, what are we looking at next year? And then they go 3-13.
They were looking really good in the early part of the season.
Man, you got me started on the Lions. My cousin would love this part because he's like locked into the Lions all the time. Okay, Mr. Shelley, I think we're already off to a great start. So I have a couple of questions first, like before we even start the show. All of this is good. How are we on time? Do I got to get you right out at 9 or do we have some time to play with? Or are we good?
Let me just double check. Yeah, I'm free. So I have an hour and a half, whatever. Whatever you need.
Oh, perfect. Okay, cool. So we can do like some post-show stuff?
Sure.
Love it. I always like to ask because some people are like on that time schedule, you know, I got to be mindful of people's time. So, okay. We talked about our days. This is a question that I really like to ask. I have two of them that we start before. What's something that you need to do to get your day started? Like, no matter what, you got to do this thing or a few things to get you going.
What is it for me? I think it's really just getting my list of stuff I want to accomplish for the day done and then start working on it. Right. It's just like, if I don't know what I'm working on, I don't know how I'm ever going to get it done. And so it's just the prioritization. I mean, there's the basic stuff, get up, make yourself feel good. You know, like all those, the basic stuff, but it's really like, what's my list? Do I know what I'm doing? And then I can get into working. I don't eat a breakfast or those type of things because I did that for a while and I just found that it didn't make me feel that great. So I've just done the intermittent fasting stuff until about noon usually. So I kind of like to get into
works.
It. Yep.
I've done it. Okay. Yeah. I like that. Straightforward. Hey, where's my list? What do I need to do? Let's do it. What time do you wake up?
I usually wake up 7:30. Well, it depends. 7:30 usually. I usually stay up pretty late. I have two teenage daughters who don't really want to go to bed very often. So I don't like to go to bed before them. So it's often a little bit of a struggle, but, and I also play volleyball in the afternoon. or in the evening, sorry,
get out of here
on Saturdays. So I play that till like sometimes 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. So it's the only time I can really play.
Man.
So I have to make it happen when I can get it.
That reminds me, very short story. I just, you know, it's Tony Rambles because this thing could just go on forever. This is very quick though. When my wife and I first got married, this will be 10 years this year. I used to go to Fitness Connection. Yep. And they were open 24 hours. So I would get off work like, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10. And I would just go to the gym afterwards and I would just hoop sometimes till like 1 o'clock in the morning. And that just shows how great my wife is, because she never was like, you know, we didn't have those trust issues. Like she was always mm-hmm. just, you know, you want to go hoop, it makes you happy. So I'm not going to stop you from doing that. As long as we are taken care of and all the stuff that needs to be done is done, like go hoop, whatever. And so shout out to mm-hmm. my wife. Okay.
I used to do the same thing, by the way.
Yeah.
The basketball. I used to love playing basketball when I was younger. So much fun. I mean, yeah. I grew up, I'm probably a little older than you, so it was the Michael Jordan era, and it was just a beautiful time.
Okay.
Right. So I'd always have my gym shorts and my shoes, even though I'm in Utah, it's like 30 degrees. And I'm like, oh no, I'm ready. If there's a game, I'm going
to
play.
I'm ready to roll.
So you gotta be devoted to the game.
Ball is life.
Yep.
Okay. I love this question, and we'll see what you got here. So no context. This is completely open-ended. However you take it, that's how I want you to answer. Who, what, when, where, why, or how? If you could only have one, which one would you choose?
Who, what? I think I'd go with who.
Okay.
Being able
okay,
to,
why?
I mean, the relationships to me, the interesting people, interesting conversations. You can be anywhere. You can be... You can at any time have great conversations, get in great, about business, about life. You can always help each other. So I definitely prefer who.
Who it is then. I like it. Okay. Well, man, I'm almost about to just go off into a different direction, but I got to stay focused. All right. We have our things that we have to do. We have our list. We will follow the list and get this accomplished.
Sometimes.
All right, Mr. Shelley, I think we're ready to roll. All right, so I will do a little intro. This is the Living Numbers Podcast, yada, yada, yada. And then I'll give you an intro, then I'll kick off our first number, which I did not send you because I like the numbers to be a little bit of a surprise. And then we'll jump into it.
Okay.
All right, here we go. I've been kind of doing these interviews and like bursts. So I have like a week where I have like 3 or 4 of them. And then I'll have like a week or two where I don't have any scheduled. I'm just kind of editing and pumping them out. And so this is my first one this week. I have another one tomorrow morning because we're on spring break. And man, this was a great way to get it started, man. This is awesome. How many of these have you done?
I think I'm in about 15.
So you just,
it's amazing.
How many do you do a week? How often do you do them?
I'm trying to do about somewhere between like 5 or 10 would be kind of where I'm hoping for. It's an interesting thing. Have you read the book Freakonomics? You ever heard of that?
I haven't. I need to read more books.
It's a book on the hidden side of everything. So it talks about, you know, like certain policies they thought would have one effect and then they have a different effect. Or, you know, it's like, it's the unintended consequences, if you're familiar with that term. Right.
Yes.
So it talks a lot about that, but it was interesting because one of the guys in there said, I wrote this book and it's not maybe the best research in the world, but I realized I had to talk about it because if you don't tell people about this stuff, then no one will ever benefit from it. So you have some scientists who are actually fairly bitter because they're like, I'm such a better scientist than this. Yeah, but this is part of the game is just because you have the best product, you have the best book. If you don't talk to people about it, they're not going to get any use from it. And again, that goes back to my thing. Right. My parents kind of both wrote books. I have a sister who wrote book. I wrote a book, and I'm like, but if no one uses it, I just wasted my time. So that's how I kind of see this: is I got to work it, get it out there. I kind of view this, the whole podcasting thing, is like a comedian. Like, I got to get out there, talk about things, have podcasters push me on new ideas, and then kind of hone in on specific ideas of what's resonating, what's not, so that people can actually benefit from it. So it's not my favorite thing to be on, to set them all up. I usually love being on them though, and interacting with you, talking with you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I just feel like you're trying to make the world a better place. That's my goal. We're both, we both want what's best for the world. And it's like, how are we doing it?
That's because, like, for me, it's about communication. I'm a communicator. I'm a connector. I'm a teacher. Those are like my three, I guess you would say, my pillars. It's who I am. And so the best way to do that is to connect with people, communicate with people, and then connect their stories and what they're doing to everybody else. So, like, this is perfect. You're operating on what you're doing. I'm operating and what I'm doing. And like, so now, like, you know, the train gets rolling. And so I think I saw this post on IG, and it was some podcast thing. And it was like, what are you doing to like change the world? And I said, well, I don't actually believe I'm changing the world, but, and this is kind of a, I guess, I don't know the term, but I know there are other people who are changing the world. So I just want to have those people on and have those people share what they're doing. So in turn, I am indirectly changing the world.
Well, and that's where I look at it more from the team side, right? You're in the connector mode.
Yeah.
That's where it's this interesting place where I hadn't looked at it, where I have something I want to share. You have your goals. If they align, we get on, we talk about it. We both help each other. And that's really where I see it. Mm-hmm. We're on the same team, right?
Yep. Yep.
So that's where I see us.
Okay. Yeah. Keep going. Keep going. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where I see it, is just, we're on the same team. And that's where it's interesting, because a team needs a whole diverse group of people, right? So it goes back to you got the quarterback, then you got the freaking center, totally different jobs, both essential for the success. And I look in our, I have a chapter or a place in my book where I talk about specialization, right? You want people who are different than you, but have the same goals, because then you're going to make this dynamic environment. And that's where I think capitalism and some of those things, it's like, hey, I want to make pencils and I want to make this. And we all come together and we contribute, and then we're all better off. And that's where you see, like, again, I go back to the family, like, we want to specialize a lot in our family. We don't want to have everyone doing the same thing. Everyone shouldn't be measured. Like, you know, as much as you or I want to, I'm not growing a baby inside me, right? That's a contribution
It's different.
That my wife will make to society and to our family that I can never make. Mm-hmm. And so having that, but then she can't do the stuff that I can. And so we have this fun synergy in our society and in our communities, where if we're all playing and contributing, you're going to have a great team. But as soon as you get people like, but wait, where's mine? You know, like, you see this on some amazing athletes that are getting paid tons of money. Like, the, you know, the Warriors are an interesting case. How were they able to get that many good people, stay under the salary cap, do that, you know, like all those different things, put together that team, people make sacrifices, and then they win championships. And then you could have someone, you know, like LeBron, who's arguably the best player in the NBA, and yet he's not winning. And I'm like, it's because this is a team sport. Best person in the game doesn't win. It's the best team and the best synergy in the team that wins.
I don't know, man. He's won a lot. He's won
To me about Jordan. Jordan is 6-0 in the finals. If you watch The Last Dance, beautiful, beautiful documentary. I mean, I'm in Utah, and I like the Jazz okay, but I'm sorry. The Bulls were so much more exciting to watch. The freaking Pippen and Jordan together, and then you throw in Rodman. I mean, that's where you get into this role players and appreciating each other's Ron strengths. Harper. Oh, yeah. So many. Well, and then you have the Warriors coach. What's his name? Trying to flip my Steve mind Kerr. Right now. Yeah, Steve Kerr. You know, and it's like, it's funny when you hear Steve Kerr like, yeah, Jordan was saying, I can't take the shot, so I've got to take it. You know, and you're like, yeah, Jordan's not saying that. He just realizes it's your shot. They're going to double team me. And so even Jordan with his cutthroat, his competitive attitude and his work ethic are amazing. I don't know. I've never seen the equal. And when you talk about, you hear his teammates, you hear Charles Barkley, and you're just like, dude, the guy was crazy, but I would want to be on his team because I would know he is going to push me to a height that I didn't know I could get to. And that is the beauty of someone like, I think of Jordan, is he pushed his team and somehow pulled his team with his excellence as well. I mean, the freaking game in Utah where he had a flu, and you're just like, how is he even playing? What is going on? So there's just this level of, I will make it happen. And I love that about Jordan. I don't know. Like I say, LeBron's great.
It's
not taking anything away, but so, there's Jordan.
All right, here we go. All right. So let me go ahead and jump off here. So I would say, if we're just like you discussed, like Walmart and Google, how they have two totally different formulas and how they be successful. Mm-hmm. I would liken it the same way with these guys. And so you could also think about it this way. Walmart couldn't run their company in 1995 the way that they run it in 2020. Okay, yeah. So now we're talking about a totally different landscape and dynamic. However,
are you
if we're talking about greatest of all time, because GOAT is measured based on accomplishments, no one can touch Michael Jordan. He has all of the individual awards. He has all of the team awards. He has the offense. He has the defense. He has the most pristine resume. Efficiency, any numbers, any new numbers you want to use, Jordan still wins. Any old numbers you want to use, Jordan still wins. Okay, now, I would say.
And he played against the Pistons. You got to remember that. I mean, you look at the Pistons and how they played him. The Jordan rules. I mean, that guy was getting literally beaten down. So compared to the beatdown days of the old NBA, now if you jump wrong underneath someone, they give you a foul.
Some of it is a little bit overblown. There are tons of videos and stuff out there about that, but I won't go into that. If we're talking about the best player who can maximize what you can do on a basketball court, and I'm taking LeBron James. He's bigger, just as athletic. He can do just as much, if not more. He can legitimately guard 1 through 5 on most teams. Nobody's guarding Shaq, so we could take him out of the equation. But he guarded Tim Duncan in the finals. Okay. So, I mean, Shaq is in a category by himself, like over there. Like, I like what they said about him. I think I don't remember who said it, but they was like, there's no reason. No, Shannon Sharp said it. He said, there's no reason why if Shaq had the mentality of Kobe or Michael or some of these people who really are dedicated, no reason why he shouldn't be talked about in the same discussion with the Jordan and the LeBron. It's really Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, and Bill Russell. Those are really like the four people that have the argument because they have like all of the accolades that they have the highest stack of accolades, I would say, that can be compared to one another. You know, so you know, the Wilt, his numbers are cartoonish. You know, it's again, 60s basketball is not the same as 80s basketball. I'm sorry. Like, and that's why I can never give it to Bill Russell. Because again, there was like 8 teams. Like, you know, I can't. So I think Michael fits like in the perfect spot. Like he has the perfect storm of everything that you could ask for. And so that's where I would rest my case. Yes, he is the GOAT, but I think LeBron is the best player and also still has his case, but I wouldn't make it. Honestly, I just feel like 10 scoring titles, 6 championships, defensive player of the year. How many MVPs? 5. Like what? There's nothing to really, you know, so.
Yeah.
How did you like, Go ahead, man. We got time. We're good.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I say Colby was really interesting in there too. But I think LeBron, if you look at just like you say, the size, the strength, his ability, when he wants to play defense, if he's playing defense. Right. I mean, there's some of the sometimes you see
he's
his 38 defense.
Years old.
I know.
Colby was not playing defense his last 4 years in the league. Okay.
So that's where I look at, like, Jordan was, he just kind of came in. He was so strong. And then he kind of just stepped away. But it was also, I think, you know, him and Bird, there was just such a level of, how could you not love Jordan? Like, I mean, I was born in 77. So it was just, you know, I came up and then I was playing ball and then it was just like, look at this guy.
Man, it was a dream.
Look
for
at
you.
Him flying. Look at the dunks. Look at, it was amazing. He is just, he was so beautiful. The way he played the game, just his, even their fast break style. I mean, Utah was playing such a boring style. It was just like, you know, he was giving it 100% all in. So yeah, I mean, then he got he finished off at the Wizards and whatnot, but it was Jordan's magical. I don't know. He's just.
Yeah. It was this perfect storm of all of the right things at the right time for the right person. He had the mystique. You know, he wore the suits. He had the attitude. Like, it was. It can never be replicated. It was. I mean, it was. You know, and he, aside from like the gambling thing, like, he never really got in trouble. Like, you didn't really know. It wasn't like now, like, where you kind of know everybody's life, you know, in and out, because they post everything, right? There is no veil. The veil has been torn, right, at this point. But for these guys, like, he just had, like, this superhero quality, I would say. So,
yeah.
Oh, man.
I love him.
Man,
so
okay.
Good.
I got just, like, a few questions, if you would humor me for a little while longer.
Yep.
Okay, what was your favorite part?
Oh,
besides the Jordan stuff.
More, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I like the podcasts that are much more like a sport where I'm just engaged and conversationally bouncing through things, because it makes me, you know, like, it's just like playing a sport. You're not thinking about what am I trying to say and what point am I trying to get across. It's, you're just engaged in the game. And there's sometimes when I play sports and I'm just like, I don't even remember what I necessarily said. I just remember, or did. I was just like, that was so much fun to be in there. And that's really where I felt like this just had a good feel. You know, the different questions and bouncing around different things in life. I mean, it's interesting. Like, you kept asking, pulling stuff from my LinkedIn. I'm like, oh, this is a first. Normally I don't have to talk about those. So that was a lot of fun just because I like, how would I say? I've been talking and thinking about this type of stuff for 5 years now, right? So for me to come on and just, here's my thing, blah, 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 is not as fun as, wait a minute, what does that mean? And why are you thinking this? And like being challenged a little bit, you know, it's like sports. Like, you love a good competition. You love to have the, you know, it's better to beat a defender who's on you than just shoot open shots all the time. So that's really where I like the conversational element to it. So that's, I really enjoyed that. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. I try to have a balance. I sent you my whole plan and stuff, but I want it to feel like a conversation, because I feel like that helps the guests to just, like you said, just kind of react and think and go, well, man, I never thought about that. Or I hadn't gone back to that place in my life in a while. And so how did this? And so, those are the best answers. Like, when you get that organic stuff that's just in you and it starts to come out. And I think, of course, it's all going to tie back to what you're doing anyway. Because, like I said, everything that's happened brings us to the place we are now. So that's actually why I put, like, that other stuff before, like, the one thing that you're trying to, like, market, to push. Because I feel like, once people kind of get, like, this background and know who you are and where you're from and what you've been through, once you get to the book, like, it's like, shoot, I have to get one of these books, because I know about this guy and I like his story and I believe in him. So that's kind of like why I position things the way I do. I know it's called Tony Rambles, but there's a lot more, like, strategy and structure that goes into this. And mm-hmm. I pay attention. I try to do good research. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the research was good as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you would want to talk about? I know we bounced around a lot.
I've had a struggle. I don't know how to talk about it. I mean, I kind of talk about it, but it's the visualization that I kind of wonder from the book where I'm like, how do I help people see it? You know, it's one thing.
The resources that you have with the maps and stuff.
Yeah. And it's just like understanding, wait, okay, my business model's taking it. I'm taking action and then I'm going to have a profit or a gain. And then it's coming back over here. And for me, having those things visually is really helpful. And so I've struggled a little bit with podcasts where I don't have this. It's a little hard to describe this diagram. And so I don't know. That's really my biggest struggle or thing that I wish I could do better, but I don't know how necessarily to do that. You're the teacher. Maybe you could figure that out.
I mean, actually, I was thinking, right? So the first thing I thought of is your background, right? So maybe having something there, because people are going to be like, what is that back there? Like, what is that? So once you spark people's interest, now they're going to be like, well, I'm going to at least go to this website, because, you know, we're always doing multiple things at one time. Let me go to this dude's website and let me see what that flow map is back there. So maybe having something where you have like and I'm thinking like above your head, like maybe like your website there and like a piece of the graphic on one side and a book on the other side. I don't know if that would be like too much going on for people to visually like see, but that's the first thing I thought about, is having something like behind you that sparks people's interest, that makes them want to go to the website. And so obviously you'd be able to mention it, that kind of thing. Like when people see like this stuff, they're like, what is that? Is that Pokemon? What is going on? Is that a basketball? Is that a whatever this, that? And so everything back here is strategically placed, right? Nightmare Before Christmas. I got the cup. I got the basketball. Black Panther. Got my Detroit stuff. So people off the bat know like, oh, this guy's into a bunch of stuff. I got Star Wars. I got The Office, the Fun Pop things. So like all of the visuals are strategically placed. And that's maybe like a place where you can kind of maybe place that like flow map, like in that space, right? I'm motioning on my side, but looking at your side.
Yeah, I see that.
Maybe that could be something where it's like, go to the website to see the, you know, the full thing. Maybe that could be something like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's good feedback. Thank you.
Man, anything I can do to help? Okay. It is, what time is it there? 8:40?
Yep.
9:40 for me. I think we've had more than our just due. We've been recording for an hour and 42 minutes. Man.
Yep.
That's how you know it's good. I honestly could record for another 20 minutes and just get into more stuff, but I think our time has come. Mr. Shelley, I like that. Thank you all for tuning in to this exclusive content. Thank you all for subscribing. I wouldn't be able to do this without you. And I will see you all in the next ramble.